Now let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to 2 Samuel in the chapter number 13. 2 Samuel, chapter number 13. I like that word, Jesus paid it all, right? And if he truly paid it all, and he did, then we owe everything to him. And that's really the logical, the Bible says in Romans, that is our reasonable service. In other words, it's not something that is spectacular when we give our lives and live for the Lord and give him all. That's not something that ought to be seemingly to the world like something, wow, significant. Because he gave all, also gave us a reason to live this life on earth. But 2 Samuel, chapter number 13, as we're turning there, we're going to, this passage is a quite extensive passage, and obviously here is the sin of Amnon, David's oldest son at that point. And we're not going to read the whole portion because I want to focus this evening. Again, this is a character study on the life of David. And David, and really here after kind of this, we've been speaking on really the sin of David, the sin that was committed. We talked about the sin that was concealed. He tried to hide his sin. The sin that was confronted. Nathan confronted David and basically told him that, you're the one, as he gave him this parable, and said, you're the one, you're the culprit. And so we see then the sin that was confessed. David confessed his sin. Then we talked about the consequences of sin. And then last week we dwelt with continuing after sin. You see, life goes on. And how do we continue in our lives after sin? Now, we're moving on, but really throughout the remainder of David's life, we're going to see, if you would, the consequences of the sins of David, because God, through Nathan, pointed out exactly what happened. There would be tremendous damage done to his own family. Now, before we begin here, I want us to realize that the chastisement of the Lord and the consequences of the Lord cannot be mistaken to think that God made the children, the sons and the daughters of David behave that way in order to get back at David. We can't think that way. They did those things because of the testimony of David and the fact that David, because of his sin, caused them to fall. These things are not God making the children of David do those things. These things happen because they're simply the consequences of sin. Now in 2 Samuel, notice we're going to, verse 13, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after this, that Absalom the son of David had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon the son of David loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother is Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my side, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick, and when the king," this is David, "was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. And he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his side and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring me the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber of Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them into unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, Come, lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her, and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. Notice verse 21. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. I want you to notice, go down if you would with me, to verse number 37. 2 years later, Absalom kills Amnon. And news is brought to David that Absalom has killed all of the children of David. Now that's not true, but that's the report that came in. But notice verse 37. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Now, there's a lot that we could say in this passage, but I want to focus this evening on David. And I want to give us this thought this evening as we consider this part in the life of David. Considering this thought this evening, there was no restraint in David's house. So I want to preach on this evening, no restraint in David's house. Now, if we would go back, we would understand in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14, the Bible says, because this deed that thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. David, by the sin of David, what he had done, brought a great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the Lord. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. David is about to find out that although his sin is forgiven, it is an evil thing and it is a bitter thing to forsake the Lord and the Lord's commandments. It's a bitter thing. In other words, the taste stays for a long time and doesn't go away. You know, God would allow David to experience heartbreaking sorrow after another. In doing so, David would be reminded of really two things. First of all, he would be reminded of the holiness of God, and in considering the holiness of God would come to see that indeed it is an evil thing and a bitter to forsake the Lord. It would draw him to a holier life. You know, as we consider the rest of David's life, we are reminded of the chastisement of God upon David's life. However, as I mentioned earlier, we cannot be careless to accuse God of making the children of David sin to get back to David. That's not the way God works. Children in their youth naturally consider the evil example of their own parents and excuse why they may follow in their steps, and grown ones too are emboldened and confirmed in sin by the sinful conduct of their fathers and mothers. Thomas Scott wrote this, a commentary, said, let this be a warning to us to watch and pray against temptations, lest by the misconduct of one unguarded hour we should occasion such future consequences to our offspring and such misery to ourselves throughout our future lives. The sins David had brought into his home were now being reproduced by his own children. Now we know in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 12, remember the sons of Eli? During Samuel's time, they were not behaving in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. And the Bible says, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Why? Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now, that was the accusation, again, if we remember, that God told Samuel to bring to Eli, that he did not restrain his sons. He allowed his sons, and if you notice, when Eli was confronted, he told basically his sons, you should not do that, and did nothing else. In other words, it was kind of a verbal reproof, and that was it. They were not removed from the temple. They were not removed from their duties. They continued to do unhindered in the so-called service of the Lord, and they did it while the nation of Israel knew that they were wicked men. Unrestrained. May I say that as we look at this passage, I want to hone in on David to see how he dealt with the situation and to show that what is happening in this passage is not just a result of the sin of David and the consequence of David's sin, but it is also a result of him not restraining his own children in his own house. When we understand that David did not make the decision for Amnon to sin, Amnon is to be held solely responsible for his actions, not David. So let me make that clear. We are not here in this hour criticizing David for his sin with Bathsheba. That's not what this passage is about. But rather criticizing David for his failure to restrain his son. So first of all, and there's a lot going on in this passage, but I want to, again, focus on David this evening. Notice, first of all, the recklessness of David. You say, well, I just don't see that. Well, notice in the verse number 6 and number 7. Now, the Bible describes for us, obviously, Amnon. Now, Amnon is the firstborn son of David. He's the oldest son at this point. In other words, he is the one that is next in line to be the king after David. He is the one that, according to this passage, has his own house. So he was already a man of power. He already had great wealth. He was to be in line the next after David. If David would die, he would be the next one logical son to take the throne. And so as David's oldest son, there would be certain privileges. But I want us to see in this passage that David was reckless when it came to dealing with his son Amnon. First of all, there's two things we see in that gives us reason to see that David was reckless. First of all, we're going to see that he was reckless because of his flawed discernment and because of his foolish directive. Now, notice first of all the flawed discernment. In verse number 6, the Bible says, "So Amnon lay down and made himself sick, and when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand." Now, several things are going to happen here because of David's recklessness, because of his flawed discernment. First of all, when we are flawed in our discernments, we see David, it enables sinners. David's flawed discernment enabled Amnon to sin. David failed miserably here in discerning the whole situation. While Amnon may have faked the sickness well, the request he made was one that should have immediately raised serious question in David's mind. This was a very strange and a defenseless request. Why would Amnon request Tamar to come and to receive food at her hand? He was the half brother, half-sister. Now, we're going to see in just a moment that any of the daughters of the king were very well protected, those especially that were virgins. We're going to see that by the end of the story that there was a particular robe that the daughters of the king wore that signified that they were virgins and they were very well protected. So this request, on the surface, we see there's no big deal here, but I want us to consider here that this enabled Amnon to sin because of David's flawed discernment. What Amnon was asking at this time in history was not appropriate. It was not. It should have never happened. And may I say here that David, and the Bible doesn't give us the reason why his discernment was flawed, but at this time perhaps he was not, and we'll see that throughout the history of that he does not deal with his children according to the law of God. And because of that, he's going to allow things to go on and really to go on into a greater mess. But may I say that when our discernment is flawed, it will enable the sinner. Now, notice how Amnon was enabled. First of all, Amnon's flesh was enabled. because of David accepting this request. The Bible tells us, according to Amnon in verse 1 of chapter 13, the Bible says, and Amnon, David's son, loved her, Tamar. He loved her. Now we know this is not the love that we're thinking of in the biblical sense of love. We're thinking of love, right? Love thinketh no evil, according to the book of Corinthians. And so when we think about those things, this affection or this passion that Amnon had for Tamar was unrighteous. It was unholy. It was not supposed to be there. But may I say that the flawed discernment of David enabled Amnon to sin. And not only we see Amnon's flesh was enabled, but we see Amnon's focus was enabled. Notice in verse 2, the Bible says, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, that she was for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Now notice here the expression, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Now don't think here that it doesn't mean that he was hesitant. It means that, again, in the context, the king's daughters who were virgins were very well protected. They were not allowed to socialize and to go and to gallivant around like today's society. They were very well protected because of they were royalty and they were virgins as well. But notice here, Amnon, the Bible says here, he thought it hard for him. In other words, he could not think in himself. He wanted Tamar, but she was so well protected that there's really nothing that he could scheme that he could think. There's no excuse. How in the world can I be by myself with her alone? It's hard. I can't think of anything. He was having a hard time in his subtlety to think of a way for him to be with his half-sister. But David's flawed discernment enabled Amnon's focus. And enabled his flesh, his focus. But number three, notice Amnon's friend was enabled as well. Verse 3, the Bible tells us, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now, I think it is interesting because the Bible points out to us that Jonadab was a subtle man. He was deceptive. That would be the word for wise, but it's not the good type of wise. It's the type of wisdom that uses the wisdom for evil things. It uses wisdom. It uses kind of ingenuity and thought and their own kind of thinking to orchestrate evil things. Now, may I say, when the Bible points that out, there's kind of certain type of people based upon their behavior and their history that you know, well, that person is deceptive, or that person is a liar, or that particular person is not honest. If you have experience with a doctor or a salesperson, there's particular people that you say, I'll never go to that person again. Why? Because of your discernment. And may I say that it shows to us that Amnon had a friend, and the Bible tells us that he was a subtle man, and so that should tell us something about Amnon. That Amnon was not frequenting those that he should have been frequenting. Again here, this is a cousin. This is David's brother's son. And so they're together, and everybody know that he's a subtle man. And so David's lack of discernment here is evident because he enabled the flesh, Amnon's focus, and Amnon's friends. He was free to be in his son's house and influence him. His flawed discernment is seen because he enables, and by the way, it enables the sinner, but number two, it encourages sin. The Bible tells us in verse 6, so Amnon lay down and made himself sick, and when the king was come to him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. We think about how David's flawed discernment enabled sin. Amnon's sham was encouraged. You see, Amnon was faking it. I remember when I was a kid, and it was Sunday morning, and I thought to myself, you know what? If I get sick, maybe I won't have to go to church. So what I did is I chewed my cereal, and I went into the toilet, and I spit in the toilet, and I made all kinds of noise and pretending I was throwing up. And so I told my dad, I said, hey, Dad, I'm not feeling well, acting all sick, you know, trying to deceive, and showed him, I even brought him to the toilet, see, like, Dad, I've just thrown up, and I don't feel good, I don't feel like going to church. He says, he said, this is what he said. He said, well, now that you threw up, don't you feel better? You see, he was discerning. He was discerning. And I say, nobody knows you better than your parents, especially when you're a child. I think sometimes we just read that and we think that there's nothing there. But think about the sham that Amnon is putting up. He is the next in line to be the king. Don't think that he just sat around and had no responsibilities. The young men who were the next to be in line to the king were prepped their entire lives to take over the kingdom. This is not something that Amnon just sat around. At least he shouldn't have. But apparently here, he is faking the sickness. And in the midst of that, David seems to believe him. And then he's making a request out of this whole thing. David ought to be discerning enough that his son, he ought to know that his son was faking that. May I say that God gives us discerning. Discerning times. You know, it happens all the time. I remember my wife, there was a conflict going on between the children, and the Adeline bit Sophie. She ran up to her and just bit her right on the arm or on the back. I can't remember exactly where it was. And so we were kind of shocked. We were like, that's just so random. She ran up to her, bit her, and then ran off. And so then Addie faced the consequences of biting her sister. And so then my wife just thought, she looked at David, she said, did you tell your sister to bite your sister? Well, how in the world would you think of that? Discernment. Maybe the Lord. Something is wrong with David here. Do we see that? Not only in the faking the sickness, but in making a request for his half-sister to come to him. David's discernment is flawed. And when discernment is flawed, it encourages sin. Amnon's sham was encouraged. But number two, Amnon's secrecy was encouraged. Verse 9, the Bible tells us, and she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all the men from me. And they went out every man from him. In other words, Amnon was, notice, his secrecy was encouraged. And when there's a lack of a discernment in our lives, a sin will be encouraged and the secrecy of sin will be encouraged. You see, Amnon wanted to do this in secret so that nobody would know what he was thinking. By the way, he just told one of his friends, and so they were conspiring one another to trap his half-sister. And so not only is Amnon's sham was encouraged, his secrecy was encouraged, but we also see his stubbornness was encouraged. He goes on, and time and time again, he tries to lay with her, and she would not. And she tried to counsel him and say, no, I don't want, you ought to not do this. This is a folly. Nothing ought to be done like that in Israel. But he is persistent. He is stubborn. In wanting something that is not rightfully his. Something that ought not to be done in all of Israel, and especially not of the house of David. And especially not of the next king of Israel. But really in all of this, I think we can see that David's discernment was flawed. Because of David's flawed discernment and enabled the sinner, it encouraged sin. You know, we all need to be discerning today. And it not just applies to the parent-to-child relationship, it applies to every area of our lives. We need to have discernment. And when there's a lack of discernment in our lives, it enables the sinner and it encourages sin. So we not only see that his flawed testimony, but number two, we see his foolish directive. It is one thing to be not discerning of a particular situation, but it's another thing to give the directive. The Bible tells us in verse 7, then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. He not only was flawed in his discerning of his own son who deceived him and asked for a strange request, but now he goes on to actually give the directive to say, do it. David was very unwise in ordering and permitting Tamar to go to Amnon's house. It was an inappropriate situation. And may I say that his foolish directive really did two things. First of all, it hinders holiness. Now, we're going to see that in just a moment, but Tamar was a good woman. She was a virtuous woman. And David's directive, foolish directive, may I say, hindered holiness. That's what it did. In verse 18 of 2 Samuel 13, it says, "And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled." You see, she was wearing something that spoke of her holiness. And when David gave the directive, it hindered holy living. It not only hinders holy living, but number two, it harms loved ones. Now, we know a few things about Tamar according to this passage. Verse 1, the Bible says that Absalom's sister was fair. Speaking of Tamar, that speaks of that she was good looking. She was beautiful. We also see in verse 2, the Bible says, "And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar." Notice, for she was a virgin. Not only do we see she was her comeliness, but we see her chastity. She was a virgin. She lived in a way that was appropriate for her to live. We see according to verse 8, the Bible says, "So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes." And so she is royalty, but here you find her cooking. You say, well, that's kind of strange. No, she developed, notice, some culinary skills. That's pretty impressive for the king's daughter. That doesn't seem to be something that she would do herself. It seemed that she would have servants do that for her, but she's doing that herself. We also see in verse 12 and 13, as she's going back forth in Amnon, the Bible says, notice her language in verse 12, "And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly." In verse 13, he says, "And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel." We see her comeliness, her chastity, her cooking, her counsel. This is a virtuous woman. And by David's reckless behavior, in his flawed discernment, and in his foolish directive, he harmed his own daughter, who lived a holy life, who was working at being a good woman for one day her future husband, who's living by the principles of the Word of God, who was wearing a robe to testify to everybody of her holiness. We're going to see that that totally breaks her heart. She's shamed by this. She's heartbroken. She will never recover from what happened to her. Why? Because of David's recklessness. You say, wow, that doesn't appear like a big deal. It is a big deal. When it's your own children. We're talking about his own daughter. And his own son, whom he no doubt knew how he was, allow that to happen. So we see the recklessness of David, his flawed discernment, which enables the sinner and encourages the sin, in his foolish directive, which hinders holy living and harms loved ones. But number two, we see the response of David. How is David going to respond? Now we know what happens, and basically Amnon raped his own sister. And the Bible tells us in verse 15, Amnon hated her exceedingly. Thinking, well, you wanted her so bad, but now you hate her. That speaks of sin, okay? That's what sin does. You may want it, and then when you have it, you realize you don't want it. But notice David's response to all this. Verse 21, the Bible tells us, "But when the king David heard of all these things, he was very wroth." Now, we read that and we think, wow, man, he must have been really upset. Really? That's all the Bible says he did. We don't see any consequences for Amnon, do we? Do we see any punishment for Amnon anywhere? No. This is the response of David. And may I say, there's two things about the response. First of all, it was inadequate. It was not enough. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 17 tells us, "And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people," not her and him, all those that do that, "he hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity." When the death penalty was due, May I say that David's very wrath was a poor substitute? I mean, it's not like even, this is what you deserve, son. There's nothing said about what he did. Blakey wrote, he says, was this all? Was no punishment found for Amnon? Was he allowed to remain in the palace, the oldest son of the king, with nothing to mark his father's displeasure, nothing to neutralize his influence with the other royal children, nothing to prevent the repetition of his wickedness? Nothing was done. So when we appear here, it says he was very wroth. That was an inadequate response. Something should have been done. He did not restrain his own son. Nothing was done. I'm not thinking not only for Amnon. I'm thinking of Tamar. And nothing being done. Nothing. That was his response. Not only was it inadequate, but number two, it was injurious. You know, leniency in dealing with crime only brings injury to society. And it certainly did here for Amnon. Failure to deal properly with crimes, with crime encourages others to commit crime, and it creates many additional problems. Now, I think we can see that clearly in society today, don't we? I mean, it's basically people are getting slapped on the hand. You hear things all the time of people getting away, and most of the time they go out and repeat the same thing. And it seems like nothing is being done or nothing adequate. May I say that encourages more sin. It encourages more transgression of the law. It encourages all those things. It doesn't help. And perhaps David thought to himself, well, you know what? I've been guilty of killing a man, and I've been guilty of committing adultery. That is no excuse for sinning against God. And sin, you know, David, more than anybody else, does not go unpunished. It was reckless. His response was inadequate and injurious. But may I see, we see lastly the result. What was the result of all this? Well, first of all, it was heartbreaking for David. The Bible tells us in verse 36, "And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore." Now, we know here that David initially heard the report after Absalom killed Amnon for basically raping his sister. He goes on and speaks, and basically the word comes that all of the children of David have been killed, all the sons. And so David hears that a report and he's heartbroken, but then he hears a second report that only Amnon has been killed by Absalom. But notice what it calls. The Bible says that David, the king also, and all his servants wept very sore. May I say, the great sorrow came as a result of this revenge. Both David and his sons wept over the death of Amnon. Sin brings much sorrow. John Butler wrote, he says, "When sin beckons with all of its promises of pleasure, remember that tears from sin far exceed all the pleasures of sin." Later in verse 38, he says, "So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, and he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead." David is heartbroken. But may I say again, this is David's doing. David allowed this to happen because of his flawed discernment and his foolish directive. He gave an occasion. He enabled the sinner. He encouraged sin by not standing up. And then the response was, he didn't do anything. Well, may I say, that is not going to produce ever something good. It never will. And David ends this chapter being heartbroken. Because now his family, think about it, now they have to live with that their whole lives. Brothers killing each other. Raping. I mean, all of that. The family now has to live with that. And we know there's much more to come. There's going to be great conflict in the family. May I say that if David perhaps had to use discernment, or even if he fell in discernment, if he just took the consequences seriously and said, you know, son, you ought not to do that. You're going to pay. You're not going to be the next king. As a matter of fact, you're going to, and maybe he would not have carried out the full consequences, but at least remove him from it, from there. I mean, do something, David. But nothing was done. His heart is broken, but not only was it heartbreaking for David, but it was harmful to David's family. I want you to notice in verse 18, if you go back with me, I want you to see how Tamar responded to Amnon forcing her. In verse 18, the Bible says, "And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparelled, that then his servant brought her out and bolted the doors after her." Now, let me stop and say this. You know what that actually meant? It almost, Amnon made it appear as if she was doing something on him by locking her out. He wanted everybody to, he wanted to make it appear as if he was blaming her. She was trying to do something bad with him by locking her out. She's trying, lock her out! So it would look like all the servants that were sent out, that she had tried to do something. So now he's trying to, that reminds me of Joseph. Remember Potiphar's wife? She basically did the same thing. David didn't try anything, he was running away. But she accused him. Same thing, the flesh is the same. Verse 19, "And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went out crying." Think about the harm that was done to David's family. First of all, the spiritual harm. The Bible says she put ashes on her head. She was ashamed. The Bible says she rent her garment of divers colors. The garment that she was wearing because she was a virgin. And really, this was a testimony of her holiness. But now she can't wear that anymore. Can you see the spiritual harm that was done to her? As she had tried to live a life that was pleasing to the Lord. And after that, living a life that's pleasing to the Lord because of a father that was not discerning and that enabled the sinner and encouraged the sin, now she suffers spiritually because of a lack of discernment. Not only do we see the spiritual harm, but we see the mental harm. The Bible says she laid her hand on her head. Can you imagine what went through her mind? The headaches that must have caused. What are people going to say? I mean, that's my brother. What's my father going to think? Am I ever going to get married? Now that this has happened. And it's not only that. He hated her because of what he did. Maybe there could have been a reprieve at some point, but then he locks her outside. Can you imagine the confusion going on in her mind at that moment and what was going on? As she places her hand over her head and thinking, what is going on? The spiritual harm, the mental harm, but also the emotional harm. The Bible says she went out crying. But then she dwelt in her brother's, Absalom's house. You know, devastating consequences take place and took place in this account because of David's flawed discernment and foolish directive. And really, to even go further in the harm, the response of David was totally inadequate and injurious. And the result was great harm, not only to David in his heartbrokenness, but also to his own family. You say, well, okay, so how do we apply this to our lives? Well, I believe we can apply that in many ways. We can apply that in the church level. We can apply that in our families. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, and my children... Well, what about grandchildren? Grandchildren. Think about, you know, sometimes there's that kind of the joke going on that, you know, well, the grandparents are supposed to spoil their grandchildren, and, you know, the grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your own kids, you know. All these jokes, and sometimes grandparents say, well, when they come to our house, they can do whatever. May I say that that's not a good thing? That's not helping. Whether you're a parent or grandparent, we still have to have discernment. We can't allow things. We have to continue to apply the biblical principles in our lives. I told my dad, and I told my wife's parents, I said, I want you to treat them just like they were your kids as far as what is right and what is wrong, and teach them. Nothing ought to be different. Now, I'm not saying you're going to spoil them and all that stuff. My dad, every time he buys something for the kids, I said, I remember when we went to the drive-thru McDonald's, Dad, and you went through the drive-thru and got only something for you. But now you spoil the kids? Yeah. Okay. I don't recognize you, Dad. But I understand all those things, but I'm talking about discernment. And in church as well. You know, the Bible says we ought to be careful in church when people come in. And people maybe start propagating a false doctrine or start saying things that they ought not to and try to start rumors and things like that. We have to be very careful. We have to use discernment. When we don't use discernment in every situation, it promotes sin and it encourages. It promotes the sin. It encourages sin and it enables the sinner. And we have to be discerning in our lives. We have to use wisdom. And we can't just say, well, let's just let things go. It'll be okay. We have to speak up and say something. And the consequences as well. We have to deal with those consequences. And I think, and that is true for church discipline. That is true for parents and their children. When a sin is done, there has to be the appropriate consequences for those. There is forgiveness. But sin is never to be taken lightly. I really don't understand in this situation because I have daughters. I really don't understand David not doing anything. I really don't. As a father with three daughters, I don't understand. I don't. I don't get it. May the Lord help us to understand those truths that we find in the Word of God, and to see the result is never good. It never is. So, no restraint in David's house. Yes, these are the ongoing and the conflict going on in David's house. Yes, because that's what Nathan said would happen. But may I say, this is not what God did. This is David's doing. This is not because God made the sins and the children of David sin to get back at David. This is David's own doing. And may we, the Lord help us to understand that although we may have sin in our lives, and may we be restored and forgiven, may we move forward and use discernment in our lives. And say, well, you know what, I've done that, so I guess this is no big deal. No, it is a big deal. And we have to continue, use the Word of God as our guide, and ask the Lord to help us. No restraint in David's house. This is David's doing, and the consequences of sin. Let's ask the Lord to help us.